Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Woo, that was awesome. I got to get my breath. That was mighty, 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 mighty good. That was therapy right there. See, you don't realize it, but around about Tuesday or Wednesday, you're going to wish you could be back in here doing that again. Amen. And so from one new moon to the next new moon, from one Sabbath to the next, we'll worship God throughout eternity. And this is just rehearsal, just practice. Praise team, band, y'all did all right. Y'all blessed me. Now you might say, why are you doing all that shouting? Why are you doing all that praising God? Theologically, now it's my responsibility, and I'm not going to take a lot of time. I promise you, JoJo, I'm not. Amen. This thing going to be so clear when I share it with you, it's going to make a lot of sense, okay? Again, it's 12:55. I'm glad the praise team did what they did. It was therapeutic, but I want to just give you some Bible. It's important to know when you come to church, it's not enough just to feel good, shout, jump, but you ought to know why you're jumping. You ought to know why you're running. In fact, when they were doing that song, little man took off running. I started saying, we got a runner. I started to get behind him, but I said, they might put me out the church. I felt like that. I felt that in my spirit. I said, he felt the freedom. I said, in my mind, we got a runner. But God is good. And today I want to share with you why we need him. Now, I don't know each one of us personally, and I have not done a survey, and I have not really maybe spoken to you face to face to find out where you are with Jesus. But if you are all right with Jesus, then you're in good company and you're all right. But if you're not, you got to fix that. I'm telling you, you got to fix that, because one day your eyes are going to close in death. I'm going straight to the point. I'm not even going to do a protracted antithesis. I'm not going to embellish. I'm not going to do any homiletical tricks. I don't have any, you know, special word. I'm going to say it right. We all need Jesus. Amen. But the good news is Jesus loves you. I'm going to go to the scripture. Jason going to help me out. We're going to read some scripture. And I'm telling you, it's a public text. It's 12:55. If you give me about 15 minutes, is that all right, 15 minutes? We're going to have a baptism. Now, I usually preach an hour. I'm saying 15 minutes. I'm cutting it down. No, I don't preach an hour. But about 15 minutes, I want to make this point to you. Let's go. Let's ask God to bless. Father, Lord, we got a lot to say in a few moments to say it, but Lord, our spirits are lifted, and that's what we needed. You said the gifts were given to the body of Christ for the edification of the church, so that somebody can walk out of here today with confidence to know that they're on the winning side, but they need some Bible. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's not enough just to want to. In fact, Pen of Inspiration says, many will be lost while desiring to be saved. They never came to a point of surrender. They may not have had enough Bible in them. Didn't know the reason why they should believe what they believe or do what they do. Lord, this is not just pie in the sky. We have not believed cunningly devised fables. This thing is real. You have spoken. You spoke to us through the word of God. And Father, now I pray that my sisters and brothers, that their minds will be clear just for a moment to receive this eternal truth that you gave me, that I may share it again. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Now, in our word, we talked about, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. I believe it is 2 Corinthians. You should have that. They're going to put it on the screen. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read some scripture. It's going to be like a Bible study real quick. 2 Corinthians, as soon as they get it up, you can see it. The title of the sermon is covered. Yeah, there it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to write it down. I want you to read these texts with me. And then I want you to receive it, because it's going to make a lot of sense. It's going to make a lot of sense. This is why we celebrate Easter, and this is why you can be free. I don't care what your problem is. I don't even care what you've been doing. I don't even care if you're doing it right now. Amen. This thing is so sweet, so I got to slow down. My wife said, you talk fast when you get excited, so I got to calm myself down. Whew. Notice what the Bible says. You there? All right, 2 Corinthians, it's on the screen. 2 Corinthians, and I want to read it real slow. We're going to get to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. I'm going to read it to you. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If one died, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, verse 15, he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. I could stop right there and say part of the problem with a lot of people is when you live unto yourself, you're dying. You're actually dead. Selfishness kills. Selfishness kills. There's nothing in the universe that lives to itself except the selfish heart of man. We're the only ones that's out of step with heaven and the universe. We got jacked when we listened to an unemployed cherubim tell us that we could get better by disobeying God. That's what he told him. You can get better. You can improve your life by not listening to God. Now, what sense did that make? Think about it. You can get better. You can improve your life by doing this, which is opposite of what God said do. And I'm saying that to us today because our lives will not get better by not doing what God say do. If you don't follow God, see, God cannot lie. He doesn't have the ability to mislead you or misguide you. It's not in him to deceive you. He can't. So whatever he says is true. It's real. That's why those songs resonate with me. That's why I celebrate with them, because I know what they're singing about is so true. It's in the word, and the theology backs up the word of God. Listen to what it says. It says, verse 14. Now watch. I'm going to move because I got to move. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. I'm going to read it. I'm not sure if it's there. That's verse 6. Okay. And then it says this in verse 17. Go to verse 17. After all that's said, then it says, therefore. Therefore. Now, therefore comes to that point to say, because of that, therefore, this is the reason you can live. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The way you and I can start a new life today is simply by being in Christ. Now, you might ask the question real quick. How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, literally, I want to be in Christ. I want to be a new creature. I don't want to keep doing the stuff that I've been doing, sabotaging my own life, and then I'm wondering why I don't have peace. I'm living with guilt and despondency, and I'm wondering why. Saints, I'm telling you, we just got to do what God says do. And guess what? He will help you. Now, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read it from the Clear Word Bible to verse 14. They're going to put the King James up, and I'm almost finished already. See, if you ain't got it now, you're going to miss it. But I'm also going to share with you an illustration so that you can get it by way of illustration. Could you bring that table up? My brother right there, that table, bring it, put it right here. And again, I'm going to be out the way just shortly. I promise you. Put it right there. Perfect. Perfect right there. All right. Now, if I'm in Christ, I'm new. If I'm in Christ, I'm delivered. Well, how do you come to Christ? First of all, let me go to this one. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 3. And he's helping me. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verse 9. And we almost finished. I promise you. It's 104. I started at 12:55, and I'm going to keep my word, because I don't lie on Sabbath. I might lie on Sunday. No, I'm just joking. But notice what it says here. This is it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's what? Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all what? Come to repentance. Should come to repentance. Now the question then is, that's an action verb, come, which means repentance is somewhere. Who has it? We're born not wanting to do right. There's a plethora of texts I could give you, but for the sake of time, trust me today. We're born bent. We're born wrong. We're selfish. If we didn't have Jesus, we turn on each other. That's the only thing that keeps us from acting a fool on each other, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says he's long-suffering that we should come to repentance. Come to repentance. Now, if you write that down, it's simple. Acts 5 now, 31 says this. Acts 5, 31. Now, I got to move fast. Acts 5, 31. I want you to read it, write it down. Acts 5, 31 says, once they find it, Acts 5, 31. And we're going to look at it. And remember this one. Remember this one. But now Acts 5, 31. I'm going to read Philippians, and we're almost going to be done. Because we got a baptism. Now, him hath God exalted with his right hand. God did something to Jesus that he did not do to anything or anybody else. He exalted Jesus. And I'm going to read in Philippians why he exalted him. In other words, his approval is on Jesus. God hath highly exalted him with his right hand to be what? A prince and a savior for to give repentance. Oh, y'all missing it. Oh, y'all going to miss it. Miss it. In other words, he exalted Jesus to be the dispenser of repentance. So you're walking around talking about, I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't want to come to church. I first got to get my life together. The world got it all wrong. See, some of us think we got to just get right. No. The text says he's long suffering because he could have taken us out a long time ago. I don't know about you, but the way you have lived, you don't even deserve. Some of us don't deserve. No, well, I don't deserve. But he long suffering, not willing that anybody should perish, but that you should just come to repentance. He didn't say stop doing bad. He didn't say start living right. He said, I'm long suffering, waiting for you to come to repentance. Well, where is it then? I need to know what's the address. Can I put it in my GPS? Because I'm tired of doing the stuff I'm doing that sabotage my peace and my joy. I'm tired of not being a man that I should be for my wife, or I'm tired of not being the person I need to be. I'm just simply tired of not being a son I should be to my mother and my father. I'm tired of not having respect for myself and carrying all this guilt. Well, where can I get repentance? Because you see, in other words, you're not going to stop doing what you're doing until you feel bad enough about what you're doing. And the only way you can feel bad enough about what you're doing, you got to come somewhere to get it. And the question is, who has it? Acts 5:31 says he was exalted by Jesus to be the dispenser of repentance to give for the forgiveness of your sins. Did you see that? You carrying stuff you don't have to carry. He says, that's why when people say, come to Jesus just as you are, it's because when you come to him, he's going to give you the gift of repentance. And then when he gives that gift to you, you're going to feel so bad about what you do now. You're going to begin to experience remorse. You're going to begin to cry. You're going to begin to see the love of God like you've never seen it before. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake yourself, the assembling of yourself. Don't stop coming to church because you're going through something. What you need to do, put yourself in an atmosphere where you can keep hearing the music you heard, where you can keep hearing the word that you heard, because something's going to happen eventually and the devil doesn't like it. He wants you to stay in the darkness about the love of God. He doesn't want you to know how much God loves you with an everlasting love. But if you can keep putting yourself in an environment where you can hear God's love, I promise you it will draw you. Just keep hearing it. Let me tell you what happens. The devil, what he does, he looks over the shoulder of the minister who's preparing the message before he preaches it. And what he does, he leaves the preacher's office and he goes and find people who need that word the most, and he will cause them to miss that word that would have been a blessing to them. And the reason why the devil does that, he knows if you hear truth long enough, it's going to change your life. He knows that. You keep hearing the truth, eventually you're going to stand up. You're going to get the monkey off your back and you say, I don't have to smoke weed. I don't have to drink alcohol. I don't have to fornicate. I don't have to. I can live right. That's what happens. But you got to be drawn by God's grace. And notice what God does. I got a few minutes. Notice what he does. Philippians chapter 2. Here it is. So how do I get repentance? I come to Jesus just like I am. Without changing anything. When I make an appeal, I'm not asking you to stop smoking, drinking. I'm not asking you that. I'm saying give Jesus a chance. Come to him. Well, how do you come to him? Well, it's a faith journey. But when you come to him, he gives you the gift of repentance. Now watch Philippians 2. That's King James. I'm reading from the Clear Word Bible, and I'm almost done. Clear Word. Listen. Philippians chapter 2, and you can put it up in the King James. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 14, and he's got it up in the King James. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, I'm going to read in the Clear Word. If you gain courage from being united with Christ, if you receive comfort from his love, if you enjoy fellowship together through the Spirit, and if you possess tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being more like-minded, loving each other more deeply, and being more closely united in purpose and truth. Now watch this. Don't let selfishness and pride be your motive. And don't try to make a name for yourself among churches. But in humility of mind, give more recognition and honor to others than yourself. Verse 4, don't become totally absorbed in your own spiritual growth, but take an interest in other people and help them grow too. Verse 5, you need to think and act like Christ. Verse 5 in Philippians, yeah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Let this mind, I'm reading the translation here, but I want you to see both. You need to think and act like Jesus Christ. Verse six, notice what it says. This is a Bible study, y'all. I got to get the Bible in you, because when you got the Bible in you, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Who being in the form of God thought it not to be, from all eternity, he had the very form and nature of God, but equality with God was never something he boasted about. Christ always honored the Father above himself. Now, I'm hoping you hear me. This says, but made himself, verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made the likeness of men. Y'all, we see, God is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, he is omniscient, immutable. This God that's so awesome and so outside of everything made himself of no reputation and became a servant. God cannot bleed, God cannot die. So God said, give me a body so that I can come down there and die on a cruel cross. I can spill my blood, and whoever accepts that, I'm going to save them. That's the only way out. Now watch this next verse. Verse 8. As a human being, he obeyed God in everything. As a human being. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's why we're celebrating Easter, because he died on Friday and then he rose early Sunday. The death of the cross. Now watch the text, saints. Here it is. Verse 9. This is why, verse 9, wherefore God has exalted him. I told you, he exalted him to be the only means by which you can get repentance. You can't get it in money. You can't get it in buying a new house. You can't get it in a new relationship. You can't get it anywhere other than Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Paul says, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, why do I come to church? Why do I make my mind up to say I'm going to do the will of God and come to church? It's because you don't have any other option. Left to yourself, you will implode. You will self-destruct like Mission Impossible. The tape eventually will, we just existing without him. Now watch this. He exalted him to give him a name which is above every name. That's what he did for him. Verse 10, the time is coming when every knee, Putin, every knee, yin yang yang, I don't even know if he's from, I don't know who that is. Every name one day will bow. You know why God is patient? Because when he swings, when he's finished, everything that ain't right ain't going to be here. I know I'm saying ain't. Once God does what God does, it's over. And I'm hoping you're feeling that in your spirit. Because I'm going to do everything I can to make it possible to fix their problem where they don't have an excuse. Well, my mama this, and I was born this way. I understand. I'm going to show you how you fixed it. In other words, that name, every knee will bow in heaven and in earth, things under the earth. In other words, there will be a time when Christ comes back after the first resurrection, which is when he comes the first time. In the second resurrection, the wicked dead are going to be resurrected. The wicked those who die, and then the righteous will be living. Everybody will be that ever exists on the planet will be alive for just one time. Everybody from Adam will be alive just for a moment. And at that moment, every knee is going to start bowing and every tongue going to start confessing that Jesus is Lord. And when that happens, whatever your decision was or is before you die, you still going to give him praise. You still going to say you was fair. Because you're going to look back on April the 4th and you're going to remember when a bald head preacher who had a shirt on that said Jesus love you in a panoramic view, whatever decision you could have made for Christ you didn't make or you did make, he's going to show you that. You're going to say, I had a chance. I had an opportunity. I had an epiphany. The light bulb went off. I could have made a decision, but I thought I had more time. And notice what he says. Every knee will bow in verse 11. I'm almost finished. Verse 11 says, everyone will confess, and a tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to do it whether you like it or not, whether you're ready or not. The time will come when every knee will bow because he is so righteous. He's righteous. Now watch this, saints. Verse 12, my dear friends, as you always obey God, not only when I was with you, but even more when I was away, continue to do so. And notice what he says. Here it is. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Each one of us got to be working that thing out. Now, I know collectively we're worshiping, but each one of us, man, my time, we got to do it individually. Okay, here it is. This verse right here, 13. Always recognizing, for God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You know what? If you want to, God right now can help you. You know what you got to have? It says desire, and God gives the ability. Okay. I don't mean to be deep. It says here, he is the one who gives you the will and power to obey him. He will give you the desire and the ability to obey him. He will do what, everybody? He will give you the desire and the ability to start walking right. He'll provide you the power you need when you come to him if you would just come to him as you are. What difference does it make? What if I don't want to come to him? If you don't want to come to him, then you're taking a chance and you're playing Russian roulette. And what you're doing is you're going to eventually self-destruct. And I'm going to show you how it happens. And I'm finished. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray for you. But I'm telling you, if you don't have Christ, I'm not guessing. I don't care how much money you have. We all are spiritually bankrupt. We're born that way. You believe that? I do. Now, therefore, because we're all spiritually bankrupt, at one time, what God did was... He created man, and man was perfect. Man was perfect. I'm going to show you how perfect we were. God made his image on us, and this is part of the reason why the devil can't stand you, because you look so much like God. That's why he wants to ransom you, because you belong to him. See, when God made us, we made in the image of God could have God in us. We could hold God because we were created like him in this image. We were made to be able to have God, the Holy Ghost, in us. That's what you were made for that. And without that, you're empty. But you know what happened? Sin jacked us. And I don't care. You don't have to know theology. You don't have to know. You don't even have to go to church. You're empty because you can't hold God any longer. We are broken. That's how we are. That's how every one of us. As our faces differ, as our needs differ, all of us got something in common. We broke. We're broken. And we can't. I don't care. But if we could get back to the way we were made, then we could be all right. But you can't. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you'll keep coming short. But you know what God did on the cross? You know what he did on the cross? See, people think they got to fix it. I'm telling you right now, you just come to him. He gives you repentance and he fixes it. I'm going over my time. That's why Christ came in the likeness of humanity. He's called the second Adam. He said, I will take responsibility for their sins. I will die on the cross. I'll spill my blood and I will cover them. And anybody that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So you know what happens with all of our brokenness? He said, don't worry about it. I got you. He covers us. You're no longer leaking. You're no longer broken. And so what he does, he doesn't make you perfect. He becomes your perfection. See, that's how simple it is. That's why you can say, well, I don't need God. You can say that, but theologically, I know you're dead wrong. You're going to keep leaking all your life until you have to bow under your own, against, under duress, when you had a chance to say yes to Jesus. That's all we're waiting for our baptismal individual to come on back and they hear, so I'm quitting. See, in other words, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly today. And all he says is this, he is the one who gives you the will and the power to do it. All you've got to do is say yes to Jesus. You say, well, how can I do that? As they play, how can I do that? This water is clean. This bowl is clean. These cups are clean. So I'm going to do this. I myself can't turn off my thirst. I can't change how I feel. But if I'm thirsty, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink water. You know what I just did? I made a decision to let water inside of me to do what I can't do myself. I can't turn off my thirst. But I can make a choice. You can make a choice. That's one thing God did not take away from us. Choice. You got choice on your side. You are not stuck. As much as you don't like your situation, as much as you don't like what you're going through, you have a choice. And I promise you, once you accept Christ, just like me, making this decision, he will come in and do what? He is the one who gives you the desire and the ability to do it. So when you wake up in the morning, you have a desire to go have a devotion because he put it in you. I used to didn't even want to read my Bible. You know, people say, I don't even want to pray. But now he gives you that gift of repentance. And now you have a desire to want to get up early in the morning and look out the window or go outside and look up in the sky and say, my daddy made that sky. And I don't have to run anymore. I don't have to live in fear anymore. I can wake up knowing that I'm at one with Jesus and I'm free. And he's going to work on my behalf. And greater is he that is in me than in the world. No weapon formed. Now I've got the greatest force in the universe on my side. I'm no longer alienated from him. I'm no longer running from him. I got peace in my soul. Saints, I want that for you. I want you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what they're going to experience today. That first step. And then what God does, he walks with them. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. And as they open their Bible and as they have desire and as they keep reading, God gives them more of the ability. He gives them more of the ability to start overcoming stuff. That's how easy this thing is. Saints, I pray, God, that wherever you are in your journey, that you come to realize that he says, I want to bless you, not hurt you, not harm you. I'll never forget it. And I'm closing and I'm praying. I was 17 years old when a book like this, I cannot not tell my story. I was 17 years old when a book like this, you say, just no, not just like it, but the name of it was Steps to Christ. My mother read it out loud. She was reading it out loud. And man, it changed my life. She was just reading it. You said, well, how did it change your life? I don't know what chapter she read. I don't know what sentence. I don't know what it was. But I felt this, a conviction. I saw for the first time Jesus broken on the cross for me. I saw him bleeding for me. I saw the crown of thorns on his head for me. I literally thought I was standing there at the cross in person. And I saw him there dying for me. It was my sins that nailed him to the cross, not the Roman soldiers, not Pilate, not the centurion. It was Jesus who said, I lay down my life and I'll pick it back up. Nobody can take my life, but I'll give it as a ransom so that human beings like you could be saved, like me, could be able to walk on streets of gold and live as though we have never sinned in our life. I want that. I can't. It gave me an insatiable appetite to say, wait a minute. When I heard, I was standing there, and it was like I was standing in front of a firing squad, and right before they got ready to fire their guns, it was as though Jesus swooped down, pushed me out the way, stood there, and started taking bullets for me. And as he was taking the bullets, his body was just being riddled, and he was taking it. And then I looked up at him, and he looked down at me, and our eyes met, and I saw him. And he looked at me, and he says, go, you free. I'm taking this for you. You free, go. And I felt like, wait a minute. You got to be some strings attached. All the mess that I've done, and you're going to tell me I'm free, and you taking the bullet for me? Yes. It's that simple. You're free. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, you have been free whom the Son set free. They said it earlier. You're free. I know I've gone over, but I got a burden now. I got a passion now. I want to see people free. I want to see people free. I'm tired of the burden. I'm tired of going to funerals. I had a funeral. My wife and I had drive down. We did a funeral yesterday. Family friend of mine, his mother passed away, and it hurt. Death hurt. But Christ, when he died on the cross, he said, I'm not taking away the pain. I'm taking away the permanence. Death is no longer permanent for a Christian. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of dying now. I can close my eyes in death when I know that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal gonna put on immortality and this corruptible gonna put on incorruption. I know in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if I die, Job said, if a man dies, will he live again? I'm going to wait till my Redeemer. He going to call and I'm going to answer. I close with this prayer. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I just told you, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's how fast death is. Let me show you again. This is how fast death is. Closing your eyes just like that. Boom, boom. It's as though you didn't even fall asleep. It's as though you didn't even die. Say, for instance, you might feel the pain momentarily if you get shot. Ow, pow, ow! You die. But then, in a moment, you're going to open your eyes right back up. And now you're facing your eternal destiny. Whether it's hell or eternal life was determined by how you live before you close your eyes. Now, I ask you this question. What's worth losing your soul on this side of your blink? And then you open it back up and you say, oh, I didn't know. Oh, my God. If you don't know the Lord and you're saying, Father, what can I do to get right with you? I challenge you. If you're saying, I want to get closer to Jesus and you don't know him and you want to know him, I don't know whose books these are. I'll have to replenish them. If you're saying, preacher, I heard what you said about the book. I want that appetite. I want to be able to know the Lord. If you want one of these, just raise your hand. If that's the first step. He said, I'll call before you answer. He said, before you take the first step, I'll take the first step. This is a gift from glory. In other words, if you want to say, I need the Lord and I want to, just raise your hand and I'll have somebody bring it to you. You don't have to come get it. If you want one, just raise your hand. It's not, God bless you. God bless you. Come, would you help me out, my brother? Come help me out. Yeah. Come. The hands that was raised, would you take one of these books? I think, raise your hand. Go ahead and raise your hand. I saw my brother. Go ahead. If you raise your hand, get one. And then I'm finished. Start reading that and start asking the Lord, asking Jesus. I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you the benefit of doubt. I've gone through some stuff, but I'm God, do something because I can't take this. Speak to me. Anybody else? You want one? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. It's free. Like I said again, I don't know. I took authority. I took liberty. I don't know who booked these are. And they might say something to me later, but you can get one. It was providential when they brought it up. I didn't know there were steps to Christ. I'm telling you my testimony. I just happened to be heard that, changed life. 17, and now I'm 66. I know you don't believe it because I kind of look good, but I'm sorry. But God is good. God is good. Amen. If you want to say yes to Jesus, not to put you on your spot, you want to be baptized in the next baptism, make a decision. Make a decision. I'm praying, and we're going to go out there and do that baptism, and then we're going to eat. And y'all forgive me. Please forgive me. Father, I have sinned. In fact, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost, this is what my son did to me years ago. I took him in the room, and I said, you know you did bad, right? Come upstairs. And they knew when I said come upstairs, something's going to happen. So I said, come on. He went upstairs, and I said, why did you do that? I chastised him. And, you know, young father, young parent, I had the Bible, you know, child guidance, Adventist home, Kyrie. And I said, the Lord said we should, you know, spare the rod and all that. And I said, now what you think about that? I said, I'm going to have to spank you because I want to see you in heaven. I love you. And he said, Father, this is what he said. I ain't lying. And that's what brought this up. Father, he looked me in my eyes and said, Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. Man, you know that broke my heart. I couldn't even spank him. I couldn't whoop him. I thought about all my sins. I thought about all the stuff that I did. I said, go and sin no more. That's what God will do for us. Man, I couldn't even spank him. So I'm praying for us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you have forgiven us. You rose up from that grave to make all of this possible. Lord, we are praising you right now because of the freedom you provided. The enemy want to take us out. He's angry right now because somebody going to go down in the watery grave. Five precious souls. There might be somebody even now, Lord, thinking about it, and you're angry. The devil is angry. But Lord, we thank you. You said all heaven rejoice over just one. And there are five today. So I know they're throwing the party. And I know they're tearing up heaven. because they're rejoicing because of the soul that was lost. In fact, Pen of Inspiration says that these angels who love us so much, they work so hard to bring us into a relationship with God, which is even closer than they themselves can ever know. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for favoring us, this planet. Even though we cause you the most pain, you have brought us the most joy. And this planet will be elevated because your capital, your throne will sit on this place called Earth. Father, thank you for those who are in the valley of decision today who need to say yes to Jesus. I pray that they'll do so before it's too late. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And before that day comes, Lord, may we all settle our accounts with you, because it's appointed for man to die, but then the judgment. Lord, have mercy. Save us, we pray. Seal us, we pray. When you come back, claim us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.